es Ran Derena.
Congratulations on your first anniversary and all the best for many, many more years of great programming. Merry Christmas and a very happy New
this
Year.
This is Karthigan wishing SD a very happy one-year anniversary and to many more years ahead.
Namaskar ani swagat sarv aikatalank. Aicha sushega dan par konkani radio program aware. Ami wo program broadcast karta. XHR.6 Planet FM aware daun. By good guys. Aiz amka word ullas ani santos. Kitya ki aiz amso zanmaso dis. Sushega Tanpar was launched 1 year ago. And we are happy to be here continuing to broadcast this Konkani program. Mujhe sangata, aaj asat amcha studiot Hector, Rebecca ani Rushika. Deobaro Tanpar diu tumka.
Deobaro dis Richard.
Kosa re tu Hector?
Aao ekdam baro aasa Richard. Pan wo Baptist wo ko yahan?
वो बैप्टिस्ट आज दन परा बैडमिंटन खेलूंगा बाइले संगता देखो आज यो ना स्टूडियो
इज हैविंग अ सुसेगा दन पर
समथिंग लाइक दैट रेबेका आणि ऋषिका तुम्ही आमच्या कोंकणी कम्युनिटी इंतावन युवा पिढीची रिप्रेझेंटेटिव तुम्ही आमका तुमची इल्ली परिचय करून दितात की आणि आमका या कार्यक्रमा वयर कहली विषयावर येत तुम्ही चर्चा करतल्यात रेबेका
Thanks, Richard. Just before we start, I just want to say congrats for having this go on for a year. You guys do such a great job. And I also want to say thank you for the opportunity for letting us come on and just talk about what we're passionate about. So,
In fact, we are very joyous that the youth from the community is here, and that's one of our objectives. And so we are very, very happy.
You know, Rebecca, when I met you the first time, your mom had introduced you to me. It was 15th August, actually, and then I asked you if you'll come on the radio, and you said yes, and that was really made us very happy.
Yeah, and here we are. It's just great. With lots of planning, lots of hard work.
Good. Go ahead.
Okay, so before I introduce myself personally, I just want to introduce what me and Rushika are here to speak about. So we are called Revel Youth. And we are just two girls who are really passionate about mental health and raising awareness. And we're just going to take a few steps to get somewhere to let everyone know why we are so passionate and why we feel like it's such a big issue that everyone should know about. My name's Rebecca, and I moved to New Zealand when I was 7 years old. So I think that's 15 years ago, I don't know the math. I kind of started my passion for mental health started when I was, I think, in year 10 in high school, and I was standing outside the counselor's office, and I was just reading what they do, and I thought to myself, wow, this is such a great vocation, such a great job, and ever since then, I just haven't been able to stop. So, yeah, I'll hand it over to Rushika to introduce herself.
Hi, my name is Rushika. I came to New Zealand when I was about 4 years old, and yeah, I've been studying here, recently graduated with a degree in psychology because that's how passionate I am about this whole thing. Part of the reason that I'm here is that I'm really looking forward to raising awareness all around in terms of mental health and what it means to youth and how we can go about making the situation a bit better for everyone. So yeah, that's me.
Good.
Cool. So I will just start. Just a few facts before we get into conversation. So 1 in 6 New Zealand adults have been diagnosed with common mental health issues at some point in their lives, and globally more than 350 million people experience depression alone. So what we really want to say is, you know, mental health is really common in adults, in kids, in youth, and so it's nothing to be afraid about. I think it's something to educate yourself about, and the more you know, the more you can, you know, just carry your life with compassion and just really be aware of what it is like for someone who's struggling personally with themselves and their mind, and just how it's such a barrier to even get on with everyday life.
Definitely, I totally agree. So just like you have the flu or a cold or any sort of condition which requires long-term attention and lifestyle changes, possibly like diabetes and stuff. Similar to that, there are mental health issues. Also, they also require lifestyle changes, attention. They require you keep physically fit, active, and there are practices to keep your mind healthy, just as there are practices to keep yourself healthy. So,
yeah. because I feel like a lot of us here who are listening in and, you know, just actually a lot of New Zealanders are immigrants, and like refugees and immigrants are less likely to get help or like get referred to in mental health services, and they're more prevalent in refugees and immigrants because there's so much displacement. I mean, you leave so much behind when you come to a new country. You have to make new friends, start a new house, build a new life. It can be really stressful.
Yeah, and the culture can be overwhelming. There's definitely a culture shock that takes place for both the parents and the youth. It's like a huge change, a huge shock to the system in a way. In terms of, like you mentioned, you know, getting help and stuff, yeah, it's less likely for immigrants and refugees to get help because there's such a huge stigma in our communities that, you know, mental health is this thing that you don't talk about. You don't really, it's not really something that you could get help for without people finding out. So people tend to hide about it. People hush and talk and, oh, so blah, 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 blah.
It's not, can't tell anyone. What will they think of us, you know? It's not like that. It's really not.
Definitely not. Yeah. And there's no way that we could address the problem. There's no way that we can get help unless we start talking about it.
Yeah.
That's definitely why, you know, why we're here today.
So I just wanted to learn from you all. What did you all experience at the age of 7? I don't know whether you can go back in time and sort of relate to your situation. When you came into the country at the age of 7, what were you then, Rushika? You were 7?
I was 4.
Yeah, so what were your respective feelings at that point of time?
Yeah, good question. So when I moved here, we actually moved to Wellington first. And funny story, I think I was the only Indian girl in my school. And it was because I had never seen white skin or European people before I left India. So I was like, oh my gosh, what is this? And it was so difficult because I didn't want to leave India. All my family was there. My cousins were there. And I just... it was so tough, and we lived in this house on the hill, and there were all these trees around, and I was just used to seeing people all the time, and I was just, like, you know, you live in a building with your grandma and your family and then the neighbor and everything, so it was just so tough when we first came to get used to this new environment, and also the fact that I had an accent, and also the fact that I had to make these friends and, like, love this new place that we moved to.
And to be in sync with what your parents decided to do.
Yeah.
You tell them, yeah, it's nice. But in fact, somewhere inside...
I don't think I ever said, yeah, it's nice. I was crying the whole time. I was like, this is horrible. I hate this place. Everyone's really weird. I don't like it. It's really cold. It rains all the time. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
So it was definitely a huge shock to the system. I think it was a huge shock to the system for our entire family, you know? Yeah. Everyone here is... they act differently. They think differently. And there's this sort of stigma... and sort of like the Indian community that, oh, we don't necessarily want to act like they do, you know? But for a lot of the kids growing up here, that is us. Yeah. We are part of this Kiwi community as well, you know, that they applies to us as well.
Yeah.
So it becomes a bit of a shock to the system, especially when growing up.
And a lot of confusion as well.
Yeah, trying to figure out where you stand, what your identity is.
Where am I really from?
Yeah.
That's one that comes up a lot because you're born in India, but you live here your whole life. So then what do you really identify as?
Wow.
Rebecca, since you said you were the only Indian girl in your class, in your school, was there a lot of interest from the other students in you as an alien or something?
No, I wish it was that way. It was actually, I just had a few bad experiences, actually, which I don't think I'll get into now.
Okay.
But, you know, it was interesting.
But you made a very, very interesting point, I must say. What's your identity? Who am I?
Yeah.
That's a question that comes back to many of us. Who am I?
Yeah.
On that note, let's listen to a song. It's actually a message from Father Rafael.
Awesome.
In the form of a song that's sung by Lona.
Great.
This is Christmas season, so we have every reason to be happy and gay. Jesus Christ, Lord our Savior, changing our behavior. God and Son of Father. jolly, make everyone so happy, dancing all the way. Singing Christmas polka, drumming with his dolka, show he's happy and gay. He's a little jolly fellow, children like to follow. Season is here, so very dear. Let's sing and dance every day. Everyone so jolly, singing all the way. It's a wonderful world for the young and the old as we sing and dance every day.
Congratulations to the good guys and the team at Susegad Denpar. I think it's a fantastic achievement that Susegad Denpar has achieved in this short period of time. I just love hearing the programs. Every program is informative, interesting, but moreover, it makes our Denpar very susegad. So once again, all the best. And I think to all the team who have worked endlessly, tirelessly, ceaselessly to put in these programs week on week, my hats off to you. God bless. Bye.
We're back at Suseka Danpar, and I'm Rebecca, and with me is Rushika. So for the next section, I think what we want to talk about is teenagers. I think that's so weird because I was one before I turned 22 years.
That was a great sentence. I think everyone was a teenager at some point. Rebecca, thank you.
Oh my gosh. Well, informative. Just because I feel like that is a really hard time in life, and I feel like that is can like stem into where a lot of mental health issues kick in, maybe not so drastically, but they could start from there and eventually like get worse if you don't talk about it or don't realize what it is. I think a lot of people, especially teens, they think, oh yeah, I'm a teen, so I'm just going to, my mood is going to go up and down all the time, and I'm not going to feel happy or confident or like the way I am. But actually, those issues, they are like every day, but it can get worse. So yeah, really just...
They are valid. Mm. Like, there's no need for, you know, if you're a teenager going through something that's a hard time, there's no need for you to think that, oh, I'm a teenager, this is normal, everyone has a hard time. It doesn't necessarily have to be that everyone else is having the same hard time. And it doesn't have to mean that you can't reach out to someone for help. Mm. Now, that help can come from anywhere. The thing with teenagers often is that they tend to... step away from parents. They think they're now, you know, we're adults now. We're old enough to handle
18.
Things on our own.
Yeah.
So
I don't need anyone's help.
What sort of tantrums that could lead to this sort of a mental situation?
I wouldn't say necessarily tantrums as such. There are definitely sort of signs that your teenager could be going through something that's a bit not so everyday. We'll get more into the signs in the next sort of section, but you know, just in general, being a teenager, you're going through so many changes in your body. You're going through so many changes just in life. You're trying to figure out who you are, and this is where those identity issues that we spoke about earlier tend to kick in even further. The whole, you know, moving to a new country, and now it's harder to figure out who you are when everyone else is, you know, already in that zone trying to figure out who they are, and they have it slightly easier maybe because they don't have the two different cultures. They don't have their parents being like, this is how we do things back home.
Yeah.
And they don't have to deal with that, you know, sort of extra added...
Well, that's a common line everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
We were brought up that way.
When I was your age, I used to walk 5 kilometers to school.
My family had only one bike. We all shared it.
Yeah, but tell me, what are the sort of tips that you would give? There are a lot of families that have come here in the last 5 or 6 years, and surely they have teenage children, or some of the smaller ones have now grown up to become teenagers. So what sort of tips that you would sort of give to those parents such from your experiences?
Yeah.
You know, even I'm one of those where we keep saying this, you know, we walk 2 kilometers.
Oh, God. I think with how parents could help through this entire process is a big step is being democratic in your approach. You know, taking the teenager's sort of wants and what they feel like they need into account as well before making sort of decisions.
Yeah.
And with that comes along taking the consent of the teenager before making the decisions for them, so they sort of feel like they're getting a bit more in control.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you feel like, you know, you're still sort of guiding them, but you're sort of checking with them that it's okay, and that makes them feel more valid.
Yeah.
They feel like they're important. Mm. And stuff like that.
And like, my parents don't listen to me, they don't understand me. You know, that's a really common issue. Like, people, like kids, they always say that. But I feel like if you, like, communication is so important, like, because it's a two-way street. And the more you talk to your child, you make them feel comfortable coming to you with their issues at school, like bullying or not having friends or not feeling like they fit in.
You know, 'cause
that's so common. Definitely. For anyone, really. And like, I think the more you talk to your kids and about whatever, it just opens it up a avenue to have
for
conversation.
Them to come to you. Yeah. So this is the beginning of them growing up and taking control of their lives. You definitely want to show them right from the beginning that you're willing to take them seriously. You're willing to ask them for their opinion.
Yeah.
And you're there when they want to talk. Because then later on in life, if things get hard, they know that from the beginning you were there, you were ready to listen to them.
To support.
Mm. And that stuff is definitely important.
Yeah.
The other thing, especially what I've noticed in a lot of Indian communities, is the whole comparing of the children.
Yeah. Oh, no. I don't know. Like, I think that is, like, I think it used to be a lot worse. Like, my child is in med. You need to get into med because that person is in med. No. I feel like, you know, I feel like all us kids, we have different talents. We have different strengths. We have different weaknesses. We have different things we like can work on, and the more you support your children in what they are good at, the more they're gonna do better in that thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important to be unique nowadays because everybody is so into being this only or this only and like following the crowd, but I think being unique is what makes us us. And as Indians, we're pretty unique. And there's so many of us. So, you know, like, we can leave a mark on the world. And I think that's really cheesy. But it just, like, the more I grow up, the more I think about all this cheesy stuff, like, leave your mark in the world, making sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important, I guess. Yeah. And also celebrating, like, uniqueness, you know? Mm. If your child maybe isn't that great at studying, that's fine. Everyone's not great at studying. I guess what we all need to look at is teaching each other to be proud of what you are good at rather than pointing out what you're not good at.
Yeah.
And celebrate that in, like, a different way and support that, because you don't know what could come out of them, you know? A part of the reason that Rebecca and I are here today is because our parents supported us in our, like, mental health sort of endeavors that this is what we're passionate about.
Yeah.
And so we're sitting here today.
Yeah.
Magic.
Exactly.
Who would have thought?
just a bit on a serious note, is this, where do you tell the parent to draw a line in terms of, or the child to draw a line? Because something can be very mediocre and may not sort of lead you in a good position as the years go by.
Yeah.
So, you know, the child may want to do things which may not really help you in the long run.
Mm.
My mantra has always been, at the end of the day, whatever job you do, I don't bother, but you should be able to pay your bills and have a square meal a day. So what is that point where you say that you need to be cooperative with the child and be with the child and support the child and be with the child?
I think, instead of looking at it as sort of drawing a line, if you from the beginning have that communication line open, then they are more likely to also
be receptive.
Yeah, exactly. They will understand, you know, what you're talking about, because you did the same for them. You understood what they were talking about. So if you have that open communication from the beginning, it makes a lot of things sort of easier. I don't really want to make it sound like we're preaching.
Yeah.
Because we're not parents.
No.
The key point you're making is that you need to have an open door policy. You need to communicate. Communication is the key.
Yeah.
At the moment it breaks down, or rather somebody tries to have an upper hand.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, definitely. I think that's where the problem is. It's like, well, not problem, but I think that's where the problem can start, is like, I'm the adult, so I know everything.
Yeah.
That's real, because parents, they guide us to make decisions, you know? And I think what is really important is that you positively challenge something that you don't, like, if your child you think is making a wrong decision, you positively challenge their idea, be like, do you really think this is where you want your life to go? Or if you make this decision now, where do you see it going 5 years from now, 6 months from now, you know?
That's right, Rebecca. And what you said earlier is don't compare.
Yeah.
Like, if you go to your parent and say, I want to go into mental health and psychology, you don't expect them to say, but your Uncle Bostiao, son in Goa, he's a doctor.
Yeah.
So will we take a break?
Yeah, I have a good idea.
Home. And here's a Christmas recipe, kalkals. For kalkals, the ingredients are 400 grams of maida or plain flour, 100 grams of rava or semolina, 100 grams of butter, 100 grams of sugar powdered, and 1 cup of milk. The method will be, mix your butter, flour and sugar very well. Add enough milk to form a nice soft dough. Make the kalkals on a fork or a kalkal form. Deep fry the kalkals. Sprinkle icing sugar on the kalkals. Enjoy. See you. And here's a Christmas recipe, snowballs, or nankatais as we call it in Mumbai. For this you need 500 grams of plain flour, 250 grams of caster sugar or powdered sugar, 300 grams of ghee. Mix the ghee and sugar well for 5 minutes. Add the flour and form a nice soft dough. Make nankatais, that is small little balls. Add a silver ball or a cashew nut on the top. Bake at 180 degrees for 20 to 25 minutes. Enjoy.
Alrighty, so going back to what Richard mentioned earlier in terms of sort of signs in teenagers that something might not be 100%. Now, the thing with teenagers is it's a bit hard, you know. They're already pretty moody to begin with. They're
hard to talk to.
Yeah. it's tough. But there are certain sort of signs that could indicate that your teenager might need a bit more sort of a help and support. This could include excessive sleeping. Now, teenagers already sleep a lot, but you need that sort of, if you see, you know, a lot of sleeping, especially like during the daytime, that could indicate that something might not be right. Or if you're noticing the opposite, where they're not sleeping at all, you know, they're up the entire night, they don't get any sleep, they're up the entire day, they're not getting any sleep. So things like insomnia and stuff, that's one.
Yeah. Like low self-esteem, I guess, and like loss of it as well. They're kind of just like not really confident in the decisions they make or how they look or what they do. That's I think that's also a one to really look out for, because I feel like it's really common. And then another one I would say is like just not leaving the house, not wanting to see their friends, not wanting to do anything.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And for me, what I found, another one that I've noticed, especially looking at, you know, when my sister and her friends and stuff were growing up, noticing that a lot of them, when they were going through a hard time, maybe there was like an abandonment of what they like doing, you know, what their favorite hobbies are. They abandon those entirely. They stop doing it. They're not really interested. It's like a, no, not really want to.
Mm-hmm.
And then another sign, if you're looking in terms of like what they do, then academic performance. If there's like a sudden and dramatic decline in academic performance, then again, that could be an indication that, hey, your child's having a bit of a tough time. And yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's really important that even though it's like a negative change, not to get mad or frustrated, because they're already frustrated with themselves. They're like, oh, I just want to get up and go do something, but like, they're just having that internal struggle to get up and do it. And I think it's really important to just softly approach it and just say, you know, what's wrong? Do you want to talk about it? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. What you mentioned about the whole internal struggle, that's such a huge part of it, you know? It's like, you know that you might not be 100%, and you want to be 100%. You want to do better. You want to be the best person that you can be.
Yeah.
But there's almost, because your brain isn't quite ready, it's tired from dealing with all these things that you're dealing with inside your head. It's so exhausted, it cannot actually allow you to exert that energy in any other sort of field.
Yeah.
You're just so tired. And
it gets repetitive, like you do it every day. It's like cycle.
Yeah. And
getting help is really difficult.
So from a parent's side, say, I'm from the parent's side, what if the child says, sorry, I don't want to have a chat with you?
We're actually going to, again,
you know exactly what we're going to talk about today. I love it. And we haven't been over this, so it's so great.
We have all gone through the process. Yeah. We're not
trying. Are you trying to demonstrate, Richard, what parents are like?
I think that's really common. Like, kids just don't want to talk about it. They're like, you won't get it. Go away. Leave me alone, you know? Those are some really common comebacks.
Yeah, and like I said, so we will definitely go into that in the next sort of section. And we might even go into a bit of like role play.
Yeah.
So you want to take a break?
We got some more stuff for you.
Parenting.
So now we're going into a bit of a like Christmas sort of period, and the thing with Christmas is it's great, you know, it's the holidays, everyone's supposed to be happy.
Yeah,
but that might not necessarily be the case.
Yeah.
The holidays can be very stressful for someone that's already sort of dealing with issues and stuff, dealing with mental health issues. A lot of the Indian community, they tend to go back home during this time. Yeah, and for the kids, again, that culture shock is more evident. It's like, oh my God, again, we have moved, and again, everyone is different.
Yeah.
And I don't understand them, they don't understand me, and there's this...
It's just like a real back and forth of what is going on, like, which way am I supposed to go, how am I supposed to behave, because when you go back, it's like your family, your grandparents, your uncles, your aunties, their friends, their other friends. They all come and they're like, oh my gosh, I remember you when you were a baby.
Yeah.
You've
grown so much.
Yeah, and you're like,
what are you doing now?
You've changed your accent.
Yeah, so it's a lot of, you know, confrontation, especially with family. They ask you what you're doing, what you want to do. And when you're a teenager, you don't really know what you want to do.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a blank space. And what we really need to understand all together as a community is that being a teenager is hard enough. Like we mentioned earlier, it's very hard trying to figure out who you are, what you want to do with your life, and what you like, what you dislike. And, you know, it's difficult. It's really, really tough. And then you go on and you add issues on top of that that's really stress their mind out. Their mind is so focused on like growing and adapting to different things, and throwing in mental health issues just makes it a bit more of a tough
it's like
time.
You're drowning and you're like, I can't get up.
It definitely feel like you're drowning. And so there's that. The holiday period can bring a lot of that. If even if you don't end up going back home, we have a lot of, you know, community stuff around the holidays. Like Hector mentioned, we do a lot of dances and a lot of getting together, and it's great. Yeah. Everyone does tend to love it, but it's just being mindful of the fact that someone might be going through a tough time, despite the fact that everyone around us is happy and joyous and stuff.
And kind of just like, you know, back to the questions that are being asked, like, oh, what do you want to do in uni? Or what do you want to do 5 years from now? Or how's school going? You know, like, those are very normal questions. They are. But, like, if someone's going through something, that can feel like they're being attacked, because they're like, I already don't want to get out of bed and you expect me to know what I'm doing with my life.
Yeah.
And again, that brings the whole two-way communication. If you're not feeling okay, it's really important to speak about it, because people are not just going to know. You know, like, it's really important to say, hey, you know, I'm not feeling that good and I don't know why yet. But if you're just aware, and if you could just not talk about this while I'm coping, it would be really helpful.
Definitely. Or even if you don't feel comfortable doing that to every single person. It would be great if you could do it at least to your family, your parents, your family. At least if you can lean on them and be like, look, I don't really feel comfortable doing this or talking about this.
They can jump in for you.
Yeah, they'd have your back. And the thing with that is, that's only going to happen when the family creates an environment from the beginning where there's that open communication. So that child feels like, yeah, this is where I can step in and go to my parents and be like, I don't really want to talk about this.
Yeah.
And it's really important that parents are receptive to that and are like, yeah, I understand. And if your child is giving you a valid reason, like, I don't want to talk about this because it doesn't make me feel good. And sometimes not feeling good is a valid reason.
Yeah.
So taking that into account and being like, okay, you know, you don't have to, and I'll make sure that you don't get forced into talking about it.
Mm.
And that just makes the world of a difference.
Yeah, it really does. It just, like, makes it so much easier. Like, that like, your parents not understanding or not telling your parents is another, like, additional stress.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you live at home. You see your parents every day.
Yeah, so definitely. And, I mean, so, I mean, in the next section, like I said, we are going to branch out into the whole parents thing and how you can, you know, have a conversation with your child and give a bit of tips around there. So, that's coming up.
So let's hear Xavier saying something on our first birthday.
Dion Bonacor, greetings to Susigat Dunbar. Yes, this is Xavier Braganza, and I want to compliment the good guys, Richard, Hector, and Baptist. You guys have really, really worked so hard, and I want to compliment you on your first anniversary, 1 year now, since you started Susigat Dunbar. I was really privileged 2 days ago to witness your celebrations with Planet FM, and the fact that you've been recognized as outstandingly the best broadcasting station is just something amazing, and it makes us proud. It makes my chest rise up, because I'm going to join you guys as part of Good Guys. So it does give me a feeling of inspiration, a feeling of you know, a positive attitude and great vibes to be working with you. But you've done marvelously well, and I must say, critically, if you don't mind me being critical, I must say, you guys are moving from strength to strength. Really, really good. And I see the broadcasting getting much, much better every time. So hats off to you three guys. Really, really wonderful. I was so happy to see you receiving the awards. And you're one of the top good broadcasters in New Zealand. That's fantastic. So I just thought I'll share this with you. And would like to wish you all, and also extend all to all our listeners on Planet FM, very happy Christmas and good wishes for a happy new year 2018. As far as I'm concerned, I can see the vision you guys have, and I'm pretty sure we're going to skyrocket in fame. So, viva Susegad Danpa, and wish you all the best.
Happy birthday, Susegad Danpa. It's been a fantastic year, and I can't wait to see what's next.
Ek sure natal moje avastolo ek suro chiti tuje sorboti borerra arizar natalache sago sotta ushi ascena mogache moje natal Ek sure mat kore Kalis gor zata Suttoj tonware Tuto yari na tole Natal sarung bore Un moje ye natal Ek sure
So we're back with Susegad Danpa, and I'm Rebecca, and with me is Rashika. And like we said before, we're just going to do a little dialogue of what maybe a typical conversation would sound like.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be the parent, and Rebecca's going to be the child.
Ooh.
Okay, so the parent begins. I'm really worried about you, Rebecca. Is everything okay?
Yeah, everything is fine.
Are you sure? Because I mean, I've noticed that you don't really go out anymore, and I hear you walking around the house in the middle of the night. And are you getting any sleep? And recently, yeah, your grades haven't been doing as great as you generally do. Now, I'm not like upset at you. I'm just concerned, and I want to help.
Nothing's wrong. Can you stop asking me all this stuff?
Okay, well, if you want to talk, I would be happy to just listen and not interrupt, if that works.
Okay, I'll let you know.
Okay, cool. So,
yeah, so
that's the end of our acting career.
Yeah.
Okay, cool is not a terminology.
Fine. I mean, the main sort of takeaways from that is that, you know, that you need to sort of
not be a bit pushy, but you definitely need to ask more than once. There's this entire internet sort of campaign going on around asking more than once. This is goes for anyone. If you see anyone having a hard time, the first time around, they're going to not tell you.
Never.
But the second you let them know that you're going to be there to listen anytime they want to talk, you're going to be there even if it's just to listen.
Yeah.
You want to let especially your child know that you're not upset at them for whatever way that they're acting in. You're not sort of... you're not mad. It's not really their fault. You just need to let them know that you're going to be there. And sometimes it does require asking more than once, asking multiple times. And it does get hard even for the child, because it's really hard to communicate what you're feeling and what might be going through your mind. And it's hard to find the words. So that's where patience, again, is key. Even though it could be very frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're really right about that, asking more than once. And when you approach it the first time, it is important to be really compassionate, because the minute you're aggressive about it, highly unlikely they're going to come talk to you again.
Yeah.
And like if you are supportive, they're gonna know that my parents really do want to help me, or this person really does care, and like they will come eventually and speak about it. It might take a while till they're able to accept what's going on with them and understand what's happening to them before they can say it in words.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, when someone's confused, the instinct is to automatically get very defensive.
Yeah.
So it
and like shut down.
Yeah, and so they could get defensive, and that's fine too. But it's really important to maintain that conversational tone about this.
Yeah.
There's a sort of approach where it's spoken about like rather than being a reactive listener, parents tend to react to what their child is saying very immediately. Their mood sort of changes.
I've been hearing that word quite often.
Yeah, and rather than being a bit of a reactive listener, it's really important, especially around these conversations, to be a more reflective listener. You know, give them a chance to talk, only listen. That's great. Let them talk as much as they want to without being interrupted, and do it in a way that you sort of, if you do ask them questions, it makes it sound like it's out of concern rather than out of confrontation. You know, they don't want to feel threatened, and because it's difficult, it's very hard talking about what might be going through your mind or what you might be going through. And if there's even like a slight bit of attacking to it, then it's like that little, you know, like the mouse will just retreat back into its own little cave and you're never going to see it again. And it's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's definitely not worth it. So. Yeah. I guess the three sort of takeaways would just be, you know, keep the communication sort of constant. Also understand that the thing with mental health sort of issues is that they can be treated. There is help to it. You can get help.
Yeah.
And thirdly, be attentive to what your teenager might be going through and their behavior in general.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think it's really important to just know that if you hush it up, it's not going away. It's definitely not going away if you don't talk about it or you don't pretend that it's there. And the quicker you attend to the situation, the quicker you can solve it, or the quicker you can work towards solving it. And I think that that's really what the focus is, the like to understand, to be supportive, so that this person can get better. And they won't get better if nobody is there to support, and that's not what you want, because it could get worse and worse.
Definitely,
really.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're looking at just like basic parenting, you know, the child learns from you. Well, yeah, the child is going to learn even this from you. If you teach them that it's something to be ashamed of, that's what they're going to learn. They're not going to be very comfortable talking about their feelings, even when they're older, and they're not going to be comfortable reaching out for help. And
even with their friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, even a basic approach could be, you know, even you as a parent could start talking. Like, what I found personally when I'm approaching someone that I can see is going through a hard time is I begin with talking about my feelings, and you know, and I talk about, you know, when I've gone through a hard time, and what that shows them is that you trust them enough to share with them, and that gives that access sort of
like opens the door for the conversation.
Exactly. Yeah. So that they have,
it's like a safe space.
Yeah.
I think creating a safe space is really important, and not just for mental health, just like talk about anything in general that is upsetting
somebody.
Yeah. It's just showing your child that there's nothing to be ashamed of around there, and it's fine to not be fine.
Yeah.
So that's a good takeaway from your chat as such, you know. Keep the conversation going.
Yeah.
Ask for help.
Yeah.
And have a good communication process in the family. So it all begins at the family level. If that is what I understand.
Well,
so it
definitely.
Definitely. And I mean, for our next sort of, when we come back in a few weeks.
Oh,
we will definitely.
Awesome.
We're coming back, guys.
Yeah.
Yay.
Ta-da. So we're going to be back and we're going to be talking about, you know, this whole like collective against independent sort of approach to everything.
Yeah.
And the pros
collective
and cons.
Culture, independent culture.
Yeah. And why the reason that Rebecca and I are emphasizing the whole family thing is, family is important, especially in Indian communities. That's what you're taught from the beginning. That's what we agree with as well. Family is important.
Definitely.
And that's why this entire session has been around like family.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, Rushika. Thank you, Hector, for being around and giving us moral support.
Yes.
It's good therapy for me. Psychologist.
In fact, you have been such a fantastic dad in communicating that they've all left your home. Okay, thanks a lot for coming. And on this note, we say adios, goodbye to our listeners. But before saying that, a big thank you to Ben for this signature tune that you've given us. And it's become a part and parcel of the Saturday program. And I hope it continues to remain that way. Thank you.
Pondrea or să mai să mau la bișane lo de cur mai faci tu cans pao. Mochi mișaner lo otena Ice carun custa la glentu ca Manan calendu De cum sogle su Macan dista fa o multa ca
Onin tu cor macan dita e maua noi core Dai de bormone tu mi va tu nghet le arbore
Mai tocasti buin cari tu catana oare De cum buinin su fa o pure